all the time. But he's going to keep coming back. And we're not going to catch him until he's defeated. But he's already defeated in the name of Jesus. And we saw his craftiness Saturday morning. And when I awakened, the first text that I looked at was from Donna Turner, who takes care of notifying our prayer team. And she said, "Can I send a text out for prayer? Israel has been attacked." I said, "Absolutely, send it." And then I went and started trying to find news sources, which they were gathering information. And the first indication I saw, because, you know, you see something like that, you want to start verifying facts. While we should always be praying for Israel, correct? Praying for the peace of Israel. I don't want to put something out that's not verified. But as soon as I heard that, I said, send it. And then the first thing to confirm it, of all things, was a report from the Wall Street Journal. And I don't keep up with them. And then another Breitbart. And then you started seeing it on CNN and Fox News. And everyone, it became the news for a little while. I don't know how long it'll stay the news. I stayed with it this morning at home to see. The last thing I wanted to see if they were still covering it or if they had moved on to something else, because it's important, folks. It's big. It is big. In the spirit world, it's huge. And for believers, it's huge. And I want to explain something to you, because I reached out to people. As a matter of fact, I've been on the phone. Most of this morning, I've been on the phone with people that I thought may be more in the know than I am. And the last one that I talked to was a wonderful lady whose husband was a Jewish rabbi. And we spent quite a long time talking about what was going on. And she is actually going to pick her mother up in a facility surrounded by Jewish Orthodox people. And so she said, "You would love to be where I'm at right now." And she said, I'm trying to talk about God where I can. But what they're saying," she said, "I wanted to hear what they're saying so I know what they're saying." And the Jewish Orthodox people are upset by it. And I'm going to explain why they're upset. Okay? It makes perfect sense to me. And then I don't even care who says this out to me. At the end, don't let me, because it came to me while I was standing right there a minute ago, don't let me forget, because it's not in my notes, to go back to John chapter 2. I'm sorry, John chapter 7. John 7. Make sure I go back to John chapter 7. Somebody do that, or all y'all do that. Before we get out of here, we're going back to John chapter 7 for just a second, and that'll tie a bow on what's going on up to this point. But when I looked at the news this morning, the last thing I saw was that they were already ESPN was already back into Sunday football. I mean, that switches real quick, because we got to keep that one going. Whatever happens, you know, we got to stay entertained in America. It does not matter. As long as you entertain us, you'll distract us. We'll go to the entertainment, because entertainment's easier to deal with than what's really going on. And there's something that's really going on right now. Now. I mean now. And one of the last things I saw was a correspondent speaking with, I don't even know the name of this news station, I just found it, but it's a live feed. It's going on. And they take 2 minutes, not even for a commercial break. They take 2 minutes for what would be a commercial break, and then they come back in live. So they're talking to a live correspondent on the streets of Tel Aviv, and he's giving us things that what he's saying, whether he knows it or not, is right in line with Scripture. Right in line with it. We're going to talk about that. But what he says is, at the end, they said, is there anything else you would like to say before we go to someone else? And he began to cry. And he said, I just want to say I feel so terrible for my friends who has lost their son this morning, who was killed this morning. And he said, and then he said this, and this just made me just cringe inside. And he said, and I feel even worse. Now, what's worse than that? I've got a son sitting right here. What's worse than that? I know what's worse than that. He said, even worse for those whose loved ones have been kidnapped and they don't know what's happening to them. Because there's something worse than death. Let me tell you, there's something worse than death. There's the terror that comes with not knowing. And some are facing that right now. And we're over here tuning into our football games and our grills and picnic and whatever. Walker and I, I'm right in the middle of it. I'm right in the middle of it. Let me throw myself out there. Walker and I were at my family's at my grandson's soccer game yesterday morning. And on the way back, I got a notification that some of Walker's friends had two tickets to the Clemson football game. Said, if you can get there by 3:30, you can get in. And I'm like, Walker, you want to go? He's like, let's go. We go. We take off. We get there. It's just started. We're listening to it on the radio. We had to park so far away. There are cars everywhere. And still people that sit at their, tailgating. They sit and watch. They got their TVs look perfect. They're watching the game. They're out there yelling, having a good old time. Got some Liquid Courage helping them out with that. You used not have to drink to watch Clemson. Now you got to drink to watch Clemson. Some of y'all like that. And I'm a dedicated Clemson fan, I'll just say. We walked. I put on my GPS tracker so I'd find out where to get back where my car was because I didn't know. We were walking through buildings, libraries, around lakes. And like we could see. We could hear the noise, but we couldn't get there. And I'm telling you, you could hear it, couldn't you, son? You could hear them cheering. But when we finally got there, got up to where we were at in the stadium, we didn't even stay. If I'd have known, our tickets were TDO, which means top deck something. And what we had was top deck next to Jesus. We got at the top of the stadium, the last door to the top, and then our seats were way up there. And I looked at Walker, and I was like, We walked all the way out. We didn't even go to our seats. It said A. And I looked at the guy, I was like trying to hug air, like to feel secure. I saw it drop off behind me and thousands of people down there and thousands of people up. And he said, where's AA? I thought he was going to say right here because I saw A. He's like, AA. He's like, you need to just go start climbing. That's what he said. So if I had known to look up what the ticket, we wouldn't even waste the time. But what I saw in the process let me know we're fine with our distractions. We easily be distractions by the thousands distracted. We had a good time riding around in the car for 5 hours and eating Chick-fil-A and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and all kind of good stuff like that. So I got to spend time with my son, but I'm telling you, the world will take news like this, be shocked by it. Our nation's capital will say, hey, we need to pray about this. You remember that thing that we said we're not going to do anymore? We need to do it, though, for this. Get the cameras going. We might even show up on the doorstep or the steps of Congress and pray over this one. But we'll go right back to the football game. We'll be right back. Let me tell you what else will be right back. Because Israel will be attacked and is being attacked. And as they, this is just me talking, but as they retaliate and fire back, the word will come, man, Israel's being a little bit heavy-handed. They're taking this thing a little bit too far. I mean, retaliation, yeah, but did you have to get back so bad? Remember, Israel's that. And if you grew up being attacked, I think your perspective would be slightly different. And let me say this too. There, as I talked to this lady this morning who is a Jew, she said, John, She said, do you know that there are Jewish Holocaust survivors still living in Israel? She said, can you imagine the terror that they're feeling right now? So if I get this right, the last 5-day war that they had, in 5 days, they had sent in about 4,000 to 5,000 bombs, missiles into Israel trying to hit. As of this morning, the last count was 4,000 to 5,000 bombs, missiles in a 24-hour period. I saw, like, if you saw it, you saw what I saw, that they took like a large piece of machinery, broke through the bottom part of Israel through a fence, and they came running in, and not one of them looked like a soldier. They looked like us. They dressed like us. Why? So that they can go in and infiltrate and look just like everybody as they're taking children and grandmothers and killing them. Women, children, grandmothers. Why? To kill any future, to kill any past, to kill everything they can kill. The sole purpose is to annihilate the Jewish nation, the people, to actually push them into the ocean. That's what they'll say that. We want to push them off into the ocean. They want them done. So where are we going to line up at this? Well, 6:30, I think it's actually 6:35 a.m. Saturday morning, Hamas, which is the terrorist organization that's taken over the Gaza Strip, attacked, and they attacked by land, sea, and sky, and they attacked wearing like what we're wearing, and they're going in, and they're on foot. And you see some of the footage is just horrible. You'll see a woman, who, obviously an Israelite, Israel woman, a Jewish woman, grabbed by her hair. She's got blood on the seat of her sweatpants. Who knows what and all she's already been through, and they're shoving her into a car, and they're televising it because they want the world to see it. That's terror. That's terror. This is what we do to you if you try to stop us. You see a picture of people running through a desert. I think they'd been through some type of concert or something, but they're getting attacked. They're getting attacked on motorcycles. They're getting attacked on hang gliders. They're getting attacked any way that they can be attacked and killed for the most part. Well, the number right now this morning was 600 confirmed dead, 2,000 injured, hundreds missing, and that's where the real terror is at. That's where the real terror is at. 4,000 to 5,000 missiles launched into Israel. Presently, right now, infiltrating terrorists are killing civilians. They're dressed in their everyday clothing, and they're taking hostages. Now imagine being a hostage, knowing there's no negotiation that's going to take place for you. Here's the situation of a hostage right now. You're going to be used simply to shield, because death is what's on the calendar for you. We want you dead, but we'll use you as a shield, so you're going to die. I'm going to tell you guys, we can't engage in sleep and slumber anymore. Not if we're going to belong to Him. As I talked to Michelle, and she, her last name is Barnett, it's her married name. Her husband Andy is with the Lord, but she's been right here and led us in the Seder meal a couple of times, and at a previous location, just they did a fantastic job with that. But I told her this morning, I said, I've never forgotten a scripture that you used, and you said, we should be thankful for the Jews and their rejection of Christ, because their rejection of Christ is what opened the gospel up to us Gentiles. You understand that? That happened. Because Israel was His chosen people, and still is. And though they have rejected Him, and there's another scripture that speaks to the Gentiles, and it says this, it says, until the number of Gentiles come in that are supposed to come in. That's scary. There are things that make my stomach turn. Since I was a child, When my dad was a preacher, I've mentioned this before. When my dad was a preacher, we had wooden pews like this. But that was our pews, hardback pews. And when my dad would start preaching about eternity, that was cue for little John to crawl underneath. Because there's something about the church pew. My mom was good with me going under the pew and going to sleep. It's crazy. It's like I was a little chihuahua or something. And I probably acted like one. But she knew if I got down there, I'd go to sleep. And maybe it gave her a break and she could enjoy the rest of the service. But when they started talking about eternity and stuff like that and end times, it's like, time to go to bed. Good night, everybody. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Elizabeth. Y'all know what I'm saying? Some of you do. Y'all old like me. Those of you laughing, y'all old like me. We can't afford, because these people are extremists. They are extremists. Where do we fit in? The Bible says if you are for Israel, you're going to be blessed. The Bible says if you're against Israel, you're going to be cursed. Okay? We must insert ourselves in prayer. Now, we have a prayer meeting every Thursday night, and we do pray. And I just want you to know about that meeting this week. I got a call Friday, before this happened. I got a call Friday from Rajan Chinnadurai. He's in Florida. And he asked, he said, I've never even told him about our prayer meeting on Wednesday, I don't think, because it's usually a Wednesday. But for this month, we made it Thursday. And he said, the first thing he asked, he said, can I come to prayer meeting Thursday night? I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to be passing through. So he's going to be here. And that man is a man of prayer. And I'll be very interested. I tried to contact him this morning, and I'm sure he's ministering somewhere, so I couldn't get him. I tried like three times, but I'm sure he'll have tremendous insight and pray correctly towards what's going on in the world. So if you can be here Wednesday night at 6:30, Thursday night at 6:30, see, it ain't what I say, it's what I meant to say. It's what I meant to say. Thursday night, 6:30. Okay? That, I'm not through preaching. I'm just getting started. We must insert ourselves in prayer. Now, I'm going to stand right here and tell you something. I'm not trying to make a political statement, so if it comes across that way, I'm not making a political statement. I'm telling you facts. I'm not going from a place of I voted here or I voted there or you should vote here or you should vote there. You better get your eyes off of men and get them on God. That's what I'm saying. But it is right to stand right here at this pulpit and tell you some facts. Everybody is saying that this financing of what's happening to Israel has come from Iran. Everybody's saying that. Our government just sent $6 billion to Iran. Now, it was said that $6 billion was to go for education and other helps. Okay, I hope so. But I've dealt with liars before. And I haven't dealt with Iran, but I've seen what happens when you deal with them. I can tell you, though, that I have dealt with plenty of destitute people, and I've given plenty of destitute people money that told me that money was going to food, and I don't believe it was going to food. I believe it was going to support what got them into their destitute position to start with, drugs, alcohol, because they reek of it, they smell like it, their body is a map, a roadmap of the hard road that they have taken in life. And if you've helped them, you've seen it too. And I'm not down on them. But I know one thing. I have asked, can I go buy you some food? No, don't really need food. I need money. But the sign said food. But so what's going on? I'm just saying, any money I gave them freed them up to go spend it how they wanted to. You see what I'm saying with that? And if there's $600 billion floating around to people that have said, we want to kill Israel, and they're cheering for it right now. I'm just stating, I'll just be up here stating a couple facts. This is not politics, it's facts. If I offer food and they say, no, I just mean money. If I intended help, if I actually intended for help, I was actually enabling them to carry on what they were doing and what they intended to do and what they wanted to do. It's time to wake up. Thankfully, our seated president, Joe Biden, made this statement and promised our Solid Rock support. He's made that statement. He's made it. I'm thankful for that. I want to be clear. I'm thankful for that. The Israelis' viewpoint is to hope that the United States will stand behind what was said. My question, though, there's certain things that could happen in my life. If they happen, my wife would not have to wonder where my support is. She would say, if the whole world is against me, I know John Morgan is for me. My question is, when there is a question, why would there even be a question that this thing would not happen? Why would there be even a thought of a question of whether support is going to happen or not? Think about that. Because that man that I talked about who's standing on the grounds of Tel Aviv right now, they said, the United States has promised its support. What do you think about that? He said, I hope it will happen. Now, I know it'll happen. They'll be with us. Let me just tell you where we're at right now as a nation. We're divided on whether we'll help them or not. And then we're divided on how far we'll help. And well, okay, they threw a rock, you throw a rock. Or they threw a rock, you throw 3/4 of a rock back. Okay, and we'll call it good. Tit for tat, tit for tat. That's easy to say when you're not the one that got hit. And you know that the promise is that they're coming after your innocent first. Because they won't fight you because they know they can't. But what they can do is strike terror in you. Not trying to be political. But we're at a particular place right now. We need actions, not words. The support that'll come, Israel has already asked for this. They've asked for ammunition support. Do I have any hopes or intentions that our men will march on Israel's soil to protect them? Very seriously doubt that. But I do believe that we'll send some ammunition because they're requesting these interceptor rockets that will go up and intercept these missiles over what is called the Iron Dome. And they could hear them. You can hear it on footage. You can hear many, many, many bombs going off in the air and in the sky. And that's what's happening is shrapnel. And y'all remember the Persian War? Y'all remember Scud missiles? And our missiles that went up and our Patriot missiles that intercepted them, that's what's happening right now over the top of them. And even with that, that's got to come down. That's got to fall. So they're running for cover and they're hiding. And that's where the people are at right now. They're in hiding. And that's going to make sense. But somebody just say that they're hiding right now. Just so you know, we're not hiding. I'm not hiding. You're not hiding. But God's people are hiding. And we're God's people grafted in. But God's original root people are hiding this morning. And I think it's very important that we just sing God with us. God for us. No one can come against. No one can stand between us. It's going to make sense in a second. You say, Pastor John, how could you say that? Well, God has his way. So we're supposed to be sending over interceptor rockets. Y'all remember just a few short years ago, 9/11, right? They're having theirs right now. This is Israel's 9/11, what's going on right now. And there's also the threat that they won't stop here, that they'll be attacked from Assyria, from name the places. Lebanon, Palestine, all around them. And as I talked to Michelle this morning, she said this. I said, how do you feel about everything? She said, this isn't new. She said, we expect to be attacked, like the Bible said, from all sides. So what's been going on leading up to this? Because this is very important. I've got a couple scriptures right here. I'll go ahead and give them to you guys at the back. 1 Thessalonians, sorry, Dion, I didn't get them to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Leviticus chapter 23, starting with verse 23. I'll give you a second to get that. While she's getting that, let me tell you what's going on right now. And it's still supposed to be going on. Religious celebration in Israel right now. What? Okay. I just need to know if I need to start ducking for rocks or anything like that. Y'all still with me? Okay, Kim, I think you're with me. Okay, so whether the enemy knew this or not, I know that the devil knew this, but whoever's coordinated this attack did it at the end of a religious festival and celebration that's actually still supposed to continue until, I think, tomorrow. And this is going to make sense. So let me go to Leviticus 23 first. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. This is about the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So the enemy recognized, I don't think the news has recognized it, because they're like, they attacked them at a time where they were probably sleeping, 6:35 a.m. But let me tell you what they were doing. They were actually being obedient to what the Word said. They were resting. They weren't supposed to do any work. They weren't supposed to be up. They were actually supposed to be engaged in an act. And I'm going to get there. And the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 26, saying, also the 10th day of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. Convocation, when you simply take time and set apart yourself for something. That's a convocation. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. And you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Y'all, Sabbath is not today. Just in case you're wondering. Sabbath was yesterday. Sabbath is Saturday. That's a day of rest. And it is a prescribed and a mandated. You want to hear a mandate? God said, don't do anything on this day. And they're still obeying that part. I promise you it's going to make more sense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 33, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything on its day besides the Sabbath. Of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest. On the eighth day a Sabbath rest. You shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palms, trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Look at your neighbor and say, hold on, it's going to make sense. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I am the children of Israel. Dwell in booths when I brought them up. When I made them dwell, the children of Israel dwell in the booths, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Okay, there they are. So that has been going on because they still keep the law. Michelle told me this. Rosh Hashanah starts it off. The Feast of Trumpets. We just talked about the Feast of Trumpets. In the Feast of Trumpets, pull up Leviticus 4:16. This is what they're saying. And you got to get this. Because they've got this thing, I'm telling you, 99% right. They got it 99% right. The anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I'm sorry. I probably told you the wrong thing. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I mean, that was a true scripture. She didn't just type up something crazy. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That is the trumpet that they are celebrating in the Feast of Trumpets. That right there is what it points to. The Jews know this. They know that when they are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, they're celebrating 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, when he shall blow the trumpet and we'll hear the trumpet and the dead in Christ will rise and we'll go be with him, and so we shall forever remain. Amen? They got it right. Say, they got it right. They got that right. You got that right. Anybody ever tell you something, you say, you got that right? Well, Rosh Hashanah, they got that right. And then it goes to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Now, what's going on in these first two, according to Michelle, in these first two, the Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, same thing, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, and the Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, the first two, what they're doing is they're walking around in an act of sorrow. They're keeping things very sorrowful. They're not to be celebrating yet. They're supposed to be believing that one day, if they can get it right, if they can do enough, that their names will be written in a book of life. So for 2 days, for two celebration periods, and this is a continuation that's going on, which is happening right now, they're going around and they're like, oh, and they're crying out and they're repenting of how bad they've been and their sins. And they're hoping that they can do enough in this next year to come. This celebration is actually a tag. It's the same thing they had on the calendar last year that they had for all these years. It's been on the calendar and they've kept it. I already looked it up. It's already scheduled for next year, 2024. Same time next year, we'll do the same thing. Because it is a religious festival. Religious meaning that we do this. This is what we do. Some of you have your coffee religiously in the morning. Some of you have your soap opera religiously at 1 p.m. You understand what I'm saying with that? They will have Rosh Hashanah in 2024, if the Lord tarries, religiously, followed by the Day of Atonement, okay? So you understand that this is a religious thing that they're doing, okay? Then it moves to the Feast of Tabernacles that they've just come out of, also known as Sukkot. And I actually was proud of myself. I got that right. I said, Sukkot? Did I say it right? She said, you said that perfectly. I was like, yes. And I thought that was the tail end of it. I thought it was over. She said, but no, what's still going on is the booths. There's a celebration of booths, just like it said right there in the Bible. This celebration is going. Now, what has changed is that they've gone from hoping that their name will be written in the book of life to now celebrating. They're celebrating that it's there. And the God that got them through next year is going to bless them into this next year. And they're celebrating that right now. Or they were. They were celebrating Jesus, the Messiah. I said they got 99% right. They were celebrating the Messiah to come. How sad to know that the Messiah that they're celebrating to come has already come. Do you remember Jesus wept and he wept over Israel and over Jerusalem looking down? He said, because you missed your day of visitation. They didn't get that. They believed in the Messiah. They still believed in the Messiah. They believed in the Messiah when Jesus came. And some were saying, is it him? Is it him? But here's what the religious folks, by and large, they thought, I still believe in the Messiah. I just don't believe it's you, Jesus. I just don't believe you're the one. And that's where they're still. And that's what's so sad about it right now. Now, this is the enemy. Now, you're going to see the enemy's plan. Because there's still supposed to be a celebration. I think it goes through tomorrow as the end. And that situation of them celebrating the booths was that they remembered the time that God kept them through the desert, wilderness. Sorry. He kept them through that. And right in the middle of this time of praise, so it's Sabbath morning in Israel. It's just after day. It's just breaking day. And they had a good night, and they've already changed the atmosphere to now we're celebrating. And here comes an attack from the enemy. Rockets and rockets and rockets and sirens and people gathered and they're being infiltrated into their homes and terror is striking inside of them. Terror is striking inside of them. And it has caused them to go to a state of confusion because they've been praying everything almost right. God, help me not to pray and be almost right in my prayers. almost right. Because also almost right is still completely wrong. And the enemy's craftiness is coming after God's people to stop their praise and to drop them into even further confusion. She said, right now, Michelle said this, she said, these Orthodox Jews right now, she said, they're confused. They're saying, how could this happen? That's their question right now. How could this happen? We're supposed to be celebrating a Messiah, and he's supposed to come. And right when we're celebrating him and moving into this place of worship, they're actually enjoying, and it's called, let me tell you what it's called. It's called Simcha, it's either Simcha or Simcha Torah, Simcha Torah. And the word Simcha means joy, and Torah means the law. It means the first five books of the Bible. That's the Torah. So celebration and joy of the Torah, they're holding to it. They're believing that all these things are going to happen. They got it almost right, except for it already happened. And the enemy has come to rain on their parade and to throw them into utter confusion and despair and hopelessness right now. That's what's happening. Pull up John chapter 2 for me, please. I'm sorry, John chapter 7. These people are humbling themselves right now. They're asking what's wrong. They were supposed to humble themselves. They were supposed to ask what's wrong. They were hoping they could do enough to get their name in the book of life. And then they're supposed to open up to this great celebration. A reason that they hated Jesus, just one of the many. They had been celebrating these things. They had become a tradition. They loved their tradition. They lived according to their traditions, and their traditions meant a lot to them. And here they are, right in the middle of their traditions. And Jesus did something that messed with all of their traditions. And he even said this to us, that we don't have to celebrate these things anymore. You understand that, the Gentile. We're not bound to, because if we did, I've misled y'all. We don't celebrate them. We don't have to. We don't even have to celebrate Easter, because Jesus is our sacrifice. Jesus is our Passover lamb. We don't keep any of these festivals because Jesus is our Passover. We join in because we've taken Easter and made it into a day of celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we'll celebrate Easter again this year. But I'm telling you, he's already here. He's already come. He's already lived. He's already died. And he has resurrected for us. And that's our story that we hang on to. I don't have an incomplete story. I don't have a story where I'm waiting on Jesus to come except for the second coming of Jesus, because he's already come the first time. I'm holding on to the second coming because I believe he's come the first time. Otherwise, why would I have a second coming that I'm looking for if he hadn't even come the first time? So Jesus is standing there. And the Jews sought to kill him. Now people are seeking to kill the Jews. But this is the time when all of these converts and disciples were huddled up. They were afraid because they were trying to kill Jesus. That was on their agenda. How do we kill him? The religious leaders got together. How can we kill him? How can we find an opportune time to kill him? After these things, I'm going to start with verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That meant it was going on. Go down to verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast. See, the enemy is trying to strike on the last day, but it ain't the last day yet. There's still some celebration that's supposed to be happening. It is said that they would take the whoever was in control of the feast would take a golden pot or a golden pitcher and pour water out of it. But Jesus stepped up and said this, on the last day, that great day, to commemorate, one of the last things that they would do would be they would take that pitcher of water and pour it out as a drink offering. You remember what it said, a drink offering? When I said that, there's the last thing that they did. Just so you know, the last thing they did in Leviticus chapter 23, well, that section that we read, is that they poured out a drink offering. And they hated Jesus. But he loved them. And he loved them so much that he had to tell them the truth. So when everybody's expecting an end, it's the last day, it's the great day, they are worshiping, they're worshiping, they're worshiping, they're waiting on a Messiah to come. They believe in the Messiah. They just believe Jesus ain't him. They're expecting that golden pitcher and that water to be poured out. And this, now listen, this is what they had to believe. If they got this season of festivals right, it set them up for the next year to walk in blessing, to walk in protection, to walk in God's provision, just like they had seen him do from time of old. So they're expecting this commemoration, and it's time. It's the last day, the last great day of this celebration. It says it plainly right there. And Jesus does this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So they're believing that a Messiah is going to come. Jesus is saying, "I am that Messiah, and I have come. And I've also got something that I'm going to give you, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit that I'm going to pour out to you." And they hated him all the more because he had messed up the last little bit of their celebration. Because if anything meant anything to them, it was their celebration. It would be like today. The only thing I can put close to it is where we're at right now. We're right in the middle of celebrating our football teams and somebody coming in and running across your side of the field with the other team's flag, or desecrating their flag, or beating up their mascot, or something right there in front of everybody. Everybody getting mad, boo, boo, boo. Much bigger than that. These people were all in. They were worked up into this thing. They were believing it. And Jesus stands up with a loud voice and says, "I'm the one. And if you believe on me, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water." Here's the thing. When they poured that water out, the purpose of that water was to go and hit the four corners. The four corners of where they were sacrificing things. I talked to my brother this morning. I called him. And he said, "I believe that that pouring out of that water is one last revival that's going to take place. And that living water is going to go what the Bible taught, the four corners of the earth. And we've got an opportunity to believe in that, or we've got an opportunity to kick back." Christine, Christine, bring my tea. Where's that remote? Yeah, I know y'all had it last. Where's it at? And I can sit back and I can slumber and I can be entertained. Or I can say, God, I belong to you. I'm grafted into you. Your people are being attacked and terrorized. God, one last time, open their eyes. Open their eyes. They're looking for a Savior right now. They've prayed to a Savior right now. They've believed for a deliverance right now. And they're discouraged because instead of deliverance, they're getting bombs. But he knows that there's something bigger than this life that we've got. And he's still in holding to memory who his people are. And I am believing that if our country doesn't send assistance, I'm not looking for anything from anybody else. I'm looking for God to be their source. They say that during that 6 days war that happened, that people saw angels. And they can't be convinced. You can look in their eyes and tell they're convinced of what they saw. And people that were operating tanks, enemies that were operating tanks, fled those tanks and ran through that desert. And those tanks are still sitting there to this day. I am believing and asking God to show himself to his people. And I want to be in on that. And I hope the cameras are rolling. When that worship, what would be better than for them to out of their hiding place get a revelation of who Jesus Christ the Messiah is and to come out and begin to worship him? Can I end with a question? What's our excuse? We're sitting here, air conditioned, padded pews, attempts at extermination of bugs and rats. We got it pretty good over here. You want warm water? We got warm water. You want cold water? We got cold water. You want coffee? We got it, and we'll make you another pot. We got whatever it takes to make us dreadfully comfortable over here. And here we sit, comfortable. Something's got to change. I'm just going to tell you, something's got to change, and I'm clearing my calendar to keep my eyes on Jesus. And I'm not worried about the everyday today anymore. I've been pastoral all summer. And at the end of it, I've come to a conclusion. Y'all can say Pastor John's mad today, or Pastor John's fed up, or Pastor John just showed a little bit of his human side today. I don't care. But I can tell you this. The business at hand here must be our eyes on him. Not the business of the church. Not the business of getting it just right. Not even the business of making sure that we're comfortable. Greatest asset we got is in those rooms back there. Now be careful before I hear too many amens, because I can't also get anybody to go back there and help them out. Here's where I'm at with that. Before I wear John Kelly out, who's as dedicated as he can be, before I wear Jonna Sisk out, who's as dedicated as she can be, coming to babysit our children, because we won't go back and help out, I will bring all of them in here, because I started this church. So I know what it is to not have children's church. I'm good with it. I started this church, and I also have read my Bible, and I understand Jesus didn't have a children's pastor or a youth pastor. I would drop this mic today, but they cost about $250, and I just don't feel like that. Thank y'all for letting me chasten you a little bit. But the truth is, it's going to take some of all of us, or I'm not going to wear out the ones who are willing. I'm just not going to. I've seen it happen before. I am not going to do it, and I will not back off of that word. And we will be all in this room together, those that come back next week. Some might leave, but I'm telling you, as pastor, that's where we're headed with this. It's going to be about the business of the Lord and not the business of the church. And don't worry, that doesn't mean I'm not going to put rat traps out, because I'm still after them, but I'm also against the rat of your soul. And I'm not going to let us sit here and lollygag and navel gaze. Yeah, that's a word. And what, get caught up on a screen and a performance and how good Pastor John preached. And I could care less about any of that. I am 100% concerned that what we do from this point forward, he looks down and says, I will bless that. I will bless that. I will bless you. Now, I want us to pray for Israel right now. I'm going to give an opportunity. I don't think I've ever done this before. I was going to have a stand right here. If you would like to come and offer up a prayer for Israel right now, I'm going to offer it to you. You can just come behind me, and we kind of pray in a circle on Thursday. So I know when things die down, it's like, you know, Orville Redenbacher popcorn. You tell when the pops go from about right there, you got burnt popcorn. So when the prayers slow down, I'll know, and I'll come close it up in prayer. Okay? So if you want to come pray over this great nation, Israel, that's a speck on our map, but God's eye is on it. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that I love that says, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I'm praying that for them. I'm praying their eyes turn to him. And not just the Torah, all of his word, the works of Jesus, the man Jesus, the sacrifice Jesus, the Messiah Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the living Jesus who died, was crucified, buried, and risen from the dead for us. Father, we call on you right now. In the name of Jesus, over the great nation Israel, your people, you see every one of them. You see those that have lost their lives. You see those whose lives are hanging in the balance right now. And my prayer for them is the peace of Israel and the resolve to follow so that peace can dwell there. I pray over them and their leadership right now, and Benjamin Netanyahu. Give him, let your word be just like off of your lips into his ears, God. Give him what he needs, the resources that he needs. But this people needs a recognition of you, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what I pray for more than anything. I pray for believers to believe. I pray for believers to unite. I pray for us to wake up and stop our sleeping and turn our eyes to you and turn our hearts to you and turn our ears to you and then to do what you have said to do. Give us the grace to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, I just wanted to read this. There's a Messianic Jewish rabbi that I look at his teaching sometimes. He and his wife are in Jerusalem right now. And he sent out a text message yesterday, and I just wanted to read part of it as an encouragement that the Lord really is moving there. He went through the whole thing about the conflict and all the bombs they're hearing, and they are in Jerusalem. And it says, although this sounds alarming at this point, I do not personally feel alarmed. Jesus said in Luke 21:28, describing what will take place during the last days before his return, Yeshua, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. So I'm looking up, for the Lord is near. Cynthia and I appreciate your prayers for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Peace, love, and shalom from Jerusalem, Rabbi. And I just wanted to just put that out there, and I'm going to pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that you have Jews in Jerusalem, in that country, in Israel right now that know you. And Lord, we just ask you to give them everything that they need, be their provision, be their wisdom, Lord. Give them discernment, give them strategy, Lord, to touch and bring true Messiah, to bring Jesus to the hearts of those people in Israel right now. And I pray this and ask it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you've got it. You love them. You love Israel, and that you love the people there. You love the people that are attacking them, Lord. And we pray for them as well, that somehow during all of this conflict, that you would begin to open their eyes as well, to see that you love them and see that you are the one true Savior. And so we just bless what's being done there, what you're doing, the work that you're doing there through the people that know you as their Lord and Savior and their Messiah in Israel right now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
I just wanted to release a scripture prayer, Psalm 125. I think we can all come into agreement with this psalm. It's a song of degrees. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. And some translations say the land of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel.
As Nan was, while she was looking up that one, I was looking up another one to find a word, because it's been going on through me since yesterday. He that slumbers will not. It says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. It's from Psalm 121, which is another song of degrees that they would be doing, which probably was at the same time of going up to the temple. And it's the psalm is short. It says, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Lord, we thank you that you do not sleep, you do not slumber. You watched over the all that was going on, but you will keep Israel, Lord. We trust you for that. You will draw them. You will draw them. Someday, Lord, you will draw them, and they will see that you are Messiah. We thank you for that. We pray for those today. Lord, pray for your church there in Israel, throughout Israel, that you give them courage, that you protect them, give them the words that they need at this point in time, Lord, to proclaim your gospel. We pray for them to be continually at this time filled with your spirit, to move, to hear your spirit, to be sensitive to your leading and guiding them. Father, we do pray for the IDF. Lord, keep them, guide them, give them wisdom, protect them. Protect Israel's army, Lord, and help them to bring out those that have been taken captive, to bring them back safely, Lord. Father, we ask you for this. We thank you that you are watching over this whole situation. We do pray for our nation, Lord, that you will guide the leaders here to stand firm in supporting Israel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, when Jesus hung upon the cross and he said the words of Psalm 22, which the Jews were very familiar with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer me. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned at the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In our ancestors put their trust. They trusted in you, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were not ashamed and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. The next psalm, which is all part of what the people of Israel would have known and memorized when you were on the cross, Father, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff guide me. And yea, and you set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, Father, I pray that at this time, at this moment, the enemies that are rising up against Israel will sense your presence. They will know that you are watching over Israel. And in Psalm 24, it's the next song. I'm not finding it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, for the King of glory enter in. Oh, Father, I just pray that these words that are ancient words that your people knew and recited and memorized and sang, my God, why have you forsaken me? These were all psalms that they sang. I pray that your protection is there, that in their sorrow that they would be seeking you and you would reveal yourself to them, Father. You would reconcile yourself to them and bless them in the knowledge that you are the Messiah and you have already come and you are here and you are wanting to just gather them together as a hen gathers her precious ones, Father. Amen.
Dear Lord, as we bow our heads and we come to you, I just want to say thank you for dying on the cross for us and rising from the dead. And I just pray that as the events are happening in Israel, I pray that your name be glorified. Your name be glorified. Your people have been under oppression before. Your people have turned from you before. But when things changed and when they turned back to you, oh, your name rippled across the entire world. And your name was glorified. People knew that they are the people. And their God is the God of Abraham. Your name was glorified even in the suffering. And I believe that even in this suffering and even in this trial and tribulation, that your name will be glorified not just in Israel, but across the entire world. There are people who don't give you credit. They don't give the Messiah, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, credit. But they will. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I pray that your people, even in the suffering, will begin to wake up and glorify your name, and that they will know that you are Lord. You are the only way. Jesus, I pray that you appear in dreams, in their sleep, angels, whatever it takes, you know. But I pray that it ripples across the entire world. I pray that all eyes are upon Israel so that they can see you. I pray that the truth ripples across the entire world. I pray that we all wake up and that the people who are called by your name will join in the chorus of prayer for your chosen people. And that we would all come into an agreement and alignment that your will be done in this earth. And that we look forward to what is to come. But until then, may our eyes be on you. Let us not be distracted. Let us not be distracted by things that don't really matter. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name.
So I want to close with this. Thank you for praying. And I know that you're going to continue to pray this week. And don't forget Thursday night will be a special night of prayer. It's very interesting, that scripture that you brought us, Nan, talked about that sword of wickedness. That it is known that Israel has over Jerusalem this, what is called the Iron Dome. Thank you. The Iron Dome. Well, early yesterday, I've only seen it one time, but early yesterday morning, someone labeled this, and I don't know if it was the enemy or Jerusalem, that labeled this attack the Iron Sword. The Iron Sword. Now, you can't make this stuff up. In the scripture that you just talked about, it's a sword of wickedness. But what I'm believing for, if we're breaking out swords, the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Word of God, into those people to cut away everything that has blocked them from getting it. Seeing they won't see. Hearing they won't hear. If they did, they would turn. I'm praying that the scales through the Word are removed from their eyes and they see the glory of the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for who you are, that you are active, you are at work, and we will see your glory, God. And we will rejoice, but we rejoice right now. We've learned to rejoice in a time of trouble. And as your word says, the redemption's drawing nigh. So we're going to lift our eyes and rejoice and look forward to your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom, peace to every one of you. That's the last thing Michelle told me this morning. Shalom, peace. God be with you.